Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
And here we go, another edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNradio.com. Broadcasting live, we are atop the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower, at least until this April, until we move, but we are still here in the Tribune Tower on the Magnificent Mile here in the greatest city in the world. I am Mike Jacobson. Man to my left is Scott King. Man to my other left today, Jimmy Greenfield, coming back as our guest today. Brittany is off, so welcome back there, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be back here.
I know. I caught
long
you
off season.
That is your name, right?
last I checked.
Caught him off guard there. I think I got him in the middle of a text.
I haven't spoken since the end of the season, so.
I know. Wow. It's been a long time. I didn't realize it was that long, but it was good to have you back. Fun stuff to talk about. Yeah. We got a lot to talk about today, Scott.
We do. First of all, I guess I didn't realize how official it was that we might not be here in April. So, hold on, where's it moving to?
Oh, we're moving the entire radio station is moving across the river to right by the Radisson Blue.
Okay.
Right on Wacker there. So,
wow,
it's probably
crazy.
Another 10-minute walk.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, leaving the Tribune Tower.
You gotta find new places to eat lunch.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
We're not going to be on how we have the storefront studio, as we like to call it, where you can actually look in and see us on WGN,
or
you can see us broadcasting on WGN.
It's part of history, man.
Yeah, on Michigan Avenue, you can just come right up and see us. We will no longer be having that. We will
That's
be
crazy.
On the, I think we're on the 16th floor or something like that. But it's a beautiful setup, and it's a beautiful layout. They're actually building out the studios right now. We went on a little field trip about a month ago and saw the space. It's going to be really cool when it's done, but leaving this building will be a little rough. I'm not going to miss the, when sometimes it's 55 degrees in the studio and other times it's 85. The temperature regulation is not good. We've had some flooding issues, too, because the building's so old here. But the Tribune Tower is historic, as you guys know, and one of the coolest buildings, in my opinion, in the city. So it'll be tough to leave, but we're not going anywhere. We'll still be broadcasting live.
Speaking of tough.
Just got on the seventh floor.
I got that kind of like Mike Jacobson sleep last night. I got like my wife and I got like 3 hours. She's so pregnant right now. She's so uncomfortable. So that means I'm uncomfortable. And like we just didn't sleep last night.
Nothing.
A few hours. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people did worse.
I'm sorry you're not feeling comfortable, Scott.
I know. She's really cramping my sleep and my podcasting with her enormous belly.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you and that unborn child of ours, can you just keep it down over there?
Right, I know this is important at all, but so is the podcast.
All right, my feet are killing me, by the way. Can you give me a foot rub? Yeah, I would advise not saying that.
All right. Well, she listens usually, but we'll talk about it later.
Facebook.
No, I feel bad for her, but it's we're in the home stretch. So
days, weeks?
November,
just
correct?
A little under 2 months. Yeah, just a little under 2 months.
Oh, wow.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. And it's a surprise. You don't know what your second child will be yet.
That's correct.
You're waiting, which I think is pretty cool.
That's correct.
So that'll be fun. Yeah. So we'll have to take off a couple weeks in November, but I guess for your second child, I guess it's all right. Maybe me and Jimmy.
I was planning on coming, so.
Yeah,
I hope that's okay.
Yeah, to get out of
You're
diaper
digging
duty.
Yourself
yeah.
deeper.
And
deeper.
Yeah. And enjoy the couch later on
Yeah,
tonight.
Exactly.
So Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. That is the best way to get a hold of us. That's where all of our content is, including Scott King's Chelsea Blogger blog, which is on WGNRadio.com. He's got a couple of new ones up there. We're going to get into his latest one that just got posted this morning later on in the podcast. But kind of want to start with tonight's preseason opener. We're going to get into that. But I do want to start with training camp festival this past weekend. Scott, you were there covering it. We broadcasted live there. Lou Manfredini, John Williams. I know you made a couple appearances on that show. On both shows, I should say. And it looked like a lot of fun. And what a crowd out there at the United Center for the scrimmage. It was pretty exciting.
No, thanks to both those guys and those shows for having me on. They were a lot of fun. It was cool to set up outside. As you know, Mike, you do a remote outside at a festival. It's pretty sweet.
But well, you're right in front of all the action, and everybody
sees
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
There are a lot of distractions that
there
way.
There are.
But
I was talking to a lot of people.
Stay focused.
I was talking to the Blackhawks staff and a bunch of other people. It's like I remember like around the lockout, around that time, there was a couple times where training camp festival is on like a Monday night, and then you go there now Saturday morning. It's like a mini Lollapalooza. There's a huge music stage. There's all these games for fans to play. There's, you know, we're broadcasting from there, and they're doing player autographs and pictures. It was really cool outside, and you go inside for the game, and it was pretty interesting. You know, we last time on the show I talked about how Sharp looked. And as training camp went on the first few days, day two was the festival, he had 3 points.
Yeah.
he scored a goal really early in day one of camp. And I had mentioned that all everyone's been talking about off the ice is how he looks on the ice and working out. And that's definitely the case. And they had the fitness testing, and he tested off the charts just like he used to when he's with the Hawks. So, you know, whether he's on that second line or third line, he could have a good season. He really could have a good season. He does look like his former self so far. And I know this is a really important year for him.
Well, it's like riding a bike. He's back home, and he didn't forget how to play hockey. I mean, he had some injury issues, obviously, with the Stars, but he didn't forget. He's healthy again, and like you said, he's back in shape. So, best case scenario, you get a really good year out of him. You got him on for a 1-year deal.
Exactly.
And then if he plays well enough,
and it looks like a very smart risk by Bowman again, then, that signing. Someone asked Sharp if he ever thought he'd be back. He's like, yeah, that's why I kept my house.
Very smart. Very smart.
If you could do that, that works out sometimes. But also from camp, Connor Murphy skated with Keith. Kind of, he did a little bit, maybe day one, but he got a lot of minutes with him in the scrimmage at training camp festival, and he looked really good. And he's a big defenseman. He's a strong defenseman. Keith said he's the type that Keith actually prefers to play with, like a big, strong guy who's physical. And Keith also said a couple guys complaining that they got banged up from Murphy already in camp. So it's going to be interesting top pairing. You know, if he can play responsibly, you know, put some big hits on guys, but also stay in position, he could work really well with Duncan Keith. That's the kind of guy Keith likes to play with.
Should be fun. I mean, it'll be interesting to see that pairing for sure, and it'd be nice to have a bruiser back there. And
yeah, they haven't had that in a while.
Long time.
On the blue line.
So that'll be good for the blue line, absolutely. And then in terms of the actual festival itself, I mean, that's John McDonough's playground. That is his whole marketing scheme for, I don't know if scheme, that's not right, marketing plan for that, I should say, is just phenomenal. And it is such a great family festival for everybody to go to, and you can have a fun time even if you're not the biggest hockey fan. And that's what was really cool about it, because I actually had a friend of mine bring his son, who was 5, and his wife, who knows nothing about hockey and wouldn't even be able to pick Patrick Kane out of the lineup. And she and her son and his son had a complete blast.
Yeah, of course.
They loved it.
Yeah, everyone who goes does, and they pack it every year.
I went when my kids were younger and their weekends weren't filled up with other stuff. It was easier to go, and we went, and they loved it. It was a great time.
It's fun, Jimmy. It's fun because it's like just the first time you know. There's always anticipation whether they win a cup or not with moves and someone trying to get in the lineup and a new guy coming here. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a great. There's always so much excitement. It's the first time you see this year's team, new faces or not.
Yeah, and there are you know, a lot of questions.
Yeah.
This is not a big year. Not like 2013 or 2015 where you really suspected the cup was really, really a possibility. This year, you know, there's some people who think they're going to miss the playoffs. There's some people who think that if everything aligns, that they have a chance for a cup. But there are so many questions, and we were talking about some of the people already.
Yeah.
Who we don't know about.
There's X factors. There's make or break factors. Aside from, actually, and he made a lot of good saves at training camp festivals, Anton Forsberg, who only has, we talked about him a little bit last time, Mike, he only has 10 NHL games under his belt. And this
came over in the Panarin deal.
Yeah, and this is something I'm actually writing a preview for Chicago Magazine on a season. This is something I'm talking about, is that Crawford's used to, you go back to 2012, 2013, all the way back to Ray Emery, he's had phenomenal backups all these years, phenomenal. And Crawford's played phenomenal, but they could also rest him for 20, 25 games, and he's fresh for the playoffs. Can they do that with Forsberg? We'll see. Forsberg looks good. He's making some great saves. Looks pretty sound positionally, but it's going to be a little bit of a downgrade from Scott Darling.
And Corey Crawford, he might not be getting that much sleep this year either, because he just had himself a baby.
That's right, he did.
He could be on the Scott King level.
Yeah, he should have even – that's why I'm doing my best podcast right now, though, because, you know, babies are good luck, you know, whether you have one coming or just had one. So Crawford could even have his best season.
There you go. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. The man you just heard, Scott King. Man to my left is Jimmy Greenfield. I am Mike Jacobson. We talked a little bit about anticipation. We got to see Alex DeBrincat skate with Patrick Kane. Was that day 3 of camp?
Yeah.
How did it look in your eyes? You were there. You were up close and personal.
Day 3? Actually, no, sorry.
Oh, you
I
were
was
not
there.
That
was
oh,
my,
okay.
I took a day off. Took a maintenance day, family day, day 3.
I mean, does he have a? Do you think he has a better chance of actually making the roster?
Yeah, no, I saw him. You know, I've seen him skate quite a bit.
Initially,
though.
I should say,
I saw him skate at prospect camp, and in the first 2 days, I think if you would have asked me before, I wouldn't have thought so. Especially bringing Sharp back and Sharp looking really good, I wouldn't have thought so. But the fact that Quinville's throwing him out there early, it's at least on his mind, and maybe it's at least on Bowman's mind, and that's where the order's coming from. But he has all the talent in the world. I mean, look at 127 points in the OHL. It's the OHL, but that is still a crap load of points. Pardon my French. That's a lot of points. And he looks really good skating, and Quinville likes him a lot. He thinks he has great anticipation. He thinks he has really good play recognition and obviously a lot of skill. So for him to be out there now, there's a chance. I wouldn't have thought there was a chance that he'd make it opening night, but there's a chance. And if he does, then you have Sharp on the third line. I think we touched on it a little earlier, and that's great for the Hawks as well. I mean, Jimmy, I don't know. What do you think? I know you've been here before. We talked a little bit about how hard it is for prospects to make the team and to put too much pressure on them and anticipation on them. Do you think he's going to be there?
It seems like he will be. The feel you get is that they want it to happen. In his case, there'll be pressure because he will need to score to stay up. He's not going to initially be producing with off the score sheet. Off the score sheet.
And you're talking about just he doesn't have to score a ton of goals. If he's just setting up Kane regularly, that might be good enough to keep him up.
Sure. If he's But however he's scoring, I think he'll probably be more of a goal scorer than a playmaker at the beginning. But, if he's not scoring, the pressure will be on to say what's wrong, because he's a goal scorer.
Right.
But I would think he's going to get every chance to play, and I would love to see it. The anticipation for him is, besides Patrick Kane, I can't think of anybody there's been in this kind of anticipation for in the last 10 years.
To me, Panarin comes close, Teravainen comes close, and he didn't quite live up to that until he contributed in a 2015 Cup run. I feel like there's guys every year, maybe his numbers and his skill are better, and that's what you're getting at. But I feel like there's these guys that everyone picks out and goes, all right, he's going to be the guy.
Well, there's a mystery to him, whereas Panarin, he was not a rookie. He was not a kid.
Yeah.
He'd succeeded in a high-level league. With DeBrincat, it's like, well, how does this translate? I love the idea that he's a little guy. Chicago loves the little guys.
They
fell in love with Shaw. They love the underdog, and he's an underdog with a bite to him. And if he ends up being, he doesn't need to score more than 20 goals this year to be successful. Hopefully he does something at the beginning so he can, and take some of the pressure off
and stick around. He does have some bite. He got in a fight last week at the rookie camp.
Yeah, he did. That's
Traverse City rookie tournament. Yeah. So definitely has some bite and a lot of skill.
One of your Chelsea blogger blogs that you put up over the weekend, which you can find those right on WGNradio.com underneath the Blackhawks tab. It was Patrick Kane talking about the Saad, Taves, and Panic line and how impressed he was with that line. I mean, did they look as fierce as he made them out to be?
Components of that line and what they were doing on the ice did. Because if you read that blog also, Taves is joking about, he goes, yeah, we're racking up the minuses though. So, I mean, it's camp. They're not going to – those guys don't want to get hurt in the first couple of days at camp. But that is going to be a big, scary line to play against. They're very good defensively. Panic can be an agitator. He's going to crash the net. All three can crash the net at given times. And Saad and Taves have so much chemistry together, and they have so much success together. They know how each other plays. And you have to imagine Saad's incredibly happy to be back, and he's going to try really hard to have a big season. So, yeah, big guys, hard to play against. I think Kane was right when he called him an intimidating line.
Yeah, that to me is going to be one of the most interesting dynamics to keep an eye on, to see how long it takes for them to really decide to get – right back into the mix. I don't think it's going to take very long. I really don't.
No, I agree.
And where he came from, well, they sent him to the Blue Jackets, they brought him back, and then we sent Panarin, who we will see to Panarin tonight because a lot of people, believe it or not, Blackhawks preseason opener is tonight.
It's tonight. On CSN Plus, it's 6.
And then you can also hear it here on WGN.
It's actually a lot of the Blackhawks rookies and prospects, guys who really kind of don't. Hinostroza's in there, but mostly guys who probably you won't see this season.
And it doesn't look like we're going to see DeBrincat either. So.
He's not playing tonight.
He's not going to play tonight.
Which could mean, like we were talking earlier, that he does have a big opportunity to make the team this year.
It'll be fun to just watch a little bit of hockey tonight, or more importantly, listen to a little bit of hockey.
I'm looking forward to watching some hockey. Yeah,
it'll be, I mean, a lot of people get caught up in, it's football season's just getting going, and then all of a sudden it hits you right in the face.
Or even Jimmy's a big baseball guy. Like, Jimmy, is it okay to watch preseason hockey?
It's the only sport that it's okay to watch.
In the preseason?
It's the only sport it's okay to watch is preseason hockey.
Yeah.
Baseball's pretty terrible. Football's god-awful. NBA's worthless.
I feel like more guys trying to get jobs in preseason hockey, I feel like, every year.
The competition's fun, you know? Yeah. It comes down to the wire.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're going to be specifically looking at tonight when you watch?
I would like to say I'm watching. I'll be honest. I have a softball game tonight, so I will not be
just watching. Watch it on your phone in between innings.
Oh,
just
then you DVR it up. Mm-hmm. I know. Well,
I'll watch it later. I'll watch it later.
Yeah, on. I'll be watching it for sure.
But
absolutely.
I'll tell you, DeBrincat not being in there, it makes me a lot less likely to really keep an eye on the game.
I'm
going to watch – Forsberg is starting tonight. I'm going to watch him. I mean – again, you hope he's a good backup. Hinostroza playing is interesting, too, because he's going to be – I think he's going to have a season like last season where he's one of those guys that is around and with the Hawks a lot, but he's kind of that extra forward who's going to be floating around, which is almost a shame because he's so speedy and his hands did improve and he does have skill. I just think, you know, that fourth line is probably going to be Wingles, Caro, Hayden, I think it's going to be your fourth line. That's if Sharp's on a third line. So Hinostroza will get in, but I don't think he's going to be an everyday guy by any means.
But how's that for some good depth? I mean, that's a nice fourth
line. I like their offense this year. Yeah. I really do, yeah.
I mean, I think defense, again, is going to be a little bit more of a question mark, just like it was last year. I mean, last year was not the best year for the blue line. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I'm writing about that, too. That's, you know, I think it's Forsling and Kempney. They played in 50 games for Kempney last year, 38 for Forsling, and they, you know, they have to elevate their game to where they can be effective every night. Those guys are going to be there, and Roosevelt didn't pass his physical, so I think Cody Franzen is going to be your, you know, veteran guy on the bottom pair, probably with Forsling. So those, it's kind of three X factors on your defense, on your back end, sometimes with a backup goalie who has 10 games. So a lot of things need to fall into place. Like Jimmy said, there's a lot of X factors this year. You just hope they go well. And look, you got a great offense. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the defense really, you know, everybody has their question marks. You just kind of, you know, you trust that Keith is still going to be in phenomenal shape at 34.
Yeah.
And Seabrook is, you know, they're definitely – kind of
Seabrook had a good offensive year last year. Defensively, he could have been better. So it's a, you know, a year where he's got to play to his full capabilities too. But I think you can expect a lot out of him.
So can they sign Franzen before the first game, or do they have to wait until the season actually begins to use that Hossa exception?
I don't know what the clause is once you give a guy a PTO. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would have to look. I'd have to look that up too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember in the past. Like when they did, I think maybe one of the last ones they did with was Carcillo in 2013, and I don't know if they signed him on day one or right before. I want to say they signed him before.
Well, I thought that they don't get the actual money from Hossa's contract after the season.
That's correct. Yeah,
so that's correct. Yeah,
I'm not sure. And I'd have to look at what kind of space they have before that even happens.
Well, definitely something to keep an eye on, and we'll definitely get back to that once we get a little bit closer here. But before we go, because we only have a few more minutes here, I wanted to talk about the Chelsea Blogger blog that you just posted this morning on WGNRadio.com. Really cool story. It's called "From the Ice to the Booth." Tell me about it.
Thank you. Yeah, I had the idea the last few years. You know, it's my fifth season covering a team, and it's always interesting. Look, I think all the broadcasters who are ex-players here are absolutely phenomenal. You have Eddie, and, you know, good luck with what he's going through. That's a real tough thing. I hope we see him soon. And Troy Murray here at WGN, Jamal Mayers on Comcast, Jeremy Roenick, Brent Sopel, who does stuff with us, and NBC. And there's more guys, and I think it's interesting to see them around because I always in my head kind of thought, you know, these guys have to miss – they're around the game still. The ice is right there. They have to miss playing, and also maybe the first couple times they work a job as a broadcaster and talk to a current player, maybe it's a little awkward. You know, so I was really interested in what that relationship with a former player, current player is like in terms of interviews and going into a locker room and if they miss playing. So, yeah, I talked to Roenick. It was really good stuff from him. He kind of got into, you know, how he doesn't have a filter and that works for him and how it's really tough when you're on the air. You have to fill a lot of time. And while you're thinking about what to say and saying it, there's a producer or some kind of person working on a production side talking in your ear and then him and Sopel also got into it's competitive like any job. There's, you know, they're always looking for new guys. Sopel had really good points about how this guy just retired. You know, maybe they want a fresher face or voice. Troy Murray had some awesome stuff about how what those guys really miss, especially him, is the camaraderie. you're with a group, and especially if you're on a team for a few years, you're always playing with these guys, traveling with these guys. Mayer said a lot of the same things. So no, it was really fun to work on. I worked on it for a long time, already getting some good feedback.
And I feel like, too, that the camaraderie is something that is almost universal for all professional athletes. And no matter what sport they leave, it feels like that is what they miss the most, because it ends up becoming your second family, particularly in a season as long as the NHL. I mean, that's a huge chunk of the year. I mean, 82 games football is 16 weeks. Now, granted, I know there's an off season and everything else like that.
Yeah.
And look at baseball when you're with somebody for, you know, six to eight months, depending on, you know, with spring training and how, if you go into the playoffs. I mean, so that is something that I feel like is pretty universal across the board.
I mean, you look at how tough hockey is, too. You're going through wars and battles with guys, you know, in a very long season. Like I said, if it's a couple of years, that's a super long time. And that was the gist of what Troy said. And that after that, whether you're broadcasting or doing something else, you're just on your own. You're not traveling with your best buddies all the time. So, yeah, it was a fun story to work on. I hope people like it.
Yeah, Chelsea Blogger Blog. It is at WGNRadio.com/sports, or you can go to WGNRadio.com/Blackhawks. It's all there. You can find all of our old podcasts there as well, and we want you to subscribe on iTunes. That is for sure. Preseason opener tonight. That'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see, because he's going to play, supposedly, to see the bread man on the ice. In the blue. In the blue uni instead of the red.
I think he'll have a decent year without Kane. What do you think, Jimmy? I think he'll still have a decent year. He's not going to have playing with Patrick Kane numbers, but I think he's a pretty dynamic forward. So.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. He's one of the best players in the world.
Panarin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a great player.
I think it'll probably take him a little bit to get his skates underneath him. You know, it's a new team and it's new arena, everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
they have a good team over there.
They do.
I'm sure he'll play well with those guys.
No, they've got a decent. They're starting to build a pretty decent nucleus over there. So that'll be fun tonight, 5:30 pregame right here on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. John and Troy will have that for you, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We will be back here and probably one more time at least before the regular season gets going. Maybe even next week we'll put something together. But you can always find us at WGNRadio.com, Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. And Jimmy is JC Green X.
That's it.
At JC Green X. How did I remember that?
That was impressive.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Till next time, we'll talk to you then.